Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. Welcome to the Sage Sayers. I'm your show host, Debbie Gardiner McCullough, DG McCullough. I'm a narrative coach, a communications coach, and a mental fitness coach from New Zealand, based in the fine state of Wisconsin. In each episode, the Sage Sayers unpacks communications tips and strategies, and we interview interesting individuals from all around the world who found the gift, the opportunity, and even some knowledge in life's inevitable challenges. My guest this week is Wisconsin-based executive coach Deb Skarda, who has encountered a tragedy in her personal life that now defines how she thinks about herself, her work, and her relationships. On Father's Day here in the States, her brother Rick was murdered. In Deb's own words, he was unjustly taken by the hand of another. This tragedy has brought on grief, pain, but also a sense of conviction in Deb that her life destiny now ties to making sense of this tragedy. Specifically, Deb wants to ensure that she and others no longer attach our worth to our bank account, nor our careers, but more so to each other. Deb's touching post on LinkedIn and other social media asks her audiences to live by her Rick rules, all aligned with the idea of cherishing time with each other and not taking the simple things nor each other for granted. Hundreds have replied, and many executives, even CEOs. I'm inviting Deb to the Sage Sayers today to honor Rick and his legacy, but also because she's my dear friend, my colleague, and Deb's perspective feels vital, especially now as fears of the world economy and potential job losses within plague so many of us. Deb, welcome to the Sage Sayers.
Thank you, Debbie. I am grateful to be here today.
Thank you, Deb. I know it means a lot to me that you're here. And I wondered, as we get into making sense of this tragedy and the poignant lessons that you're drawing within, can you walk us through, as much as you can, the legalities of the issue? Just what happened?
Yeah, you know, it was one of those situations. It was very unexpected. You know, on Father's Day, he had went to help someone who had asked for his help. And that was when everything basically unraveled. You know, it was a day that we had planned to get together as a family, and he didn't arrive. And he was always a very busy person. And so we didn't think anything immediately. You know, several of us and my family had tried to reach out to him, and he wasn't responding to his phone or text messages. We were able to contact some of his friends. They hadn't heard from him. And then my parents were on a bit of a mission, and ultimately my parents and family members unfortunately found him. And, you know, it was a significant loss. He's the youngest in our family. I'm the oldest. He's the youngest. He's the only son. And so it's been difficult. It's been challenging. And we've had to really rely on each other and our family and our faith. And so family, faith, and friends have really been really the pillars that have held us up during this time.
I'm so sorry, Deb. And I wondered, beyond the obvious shock, the grief, what were all the negative emotions coming up for you?
I'd say, you know, everything that you can imagine: anger, resentment, disbelief, times of questioning my faith, heartbreak, asking questions that really can never be answered, asking the why, the what if. Now, sometimes I wonder who can and can't be trusted. Sometimes I think a little bit about, you know, have I lived a very naive life? And a lot of concern and a lot of protection of my parents and my sister and my family and my sister's family. You know, I've used every tool in my toolbox, you know, as I already mentioned, you know, family, friends, faith, counseling, coaching, support groups, journaling, meditation. I try to get out in nature a lot more. Nature was something and that was really important to Rick. I've been doing a lot of reading for my own growth and development, but reading about grief and support of each other, staying really busy. I went through a period where I really kind of pulled away from a lot of activities and I would say even people sometimes. And I guess I reprioritized things. I think when you go through something like this, that it's unexpected and tragic, and, you know, there's some unjustness in it. It really does cause you to pause and really think about things differently. And so I've, you know, a lot, as far as those emotions that come up, I've tried really hard, and I'm continuing to work on to make sure that this tragic event does not make me bitter towards the world, to other people. And I think that, you know, at my core, I believe people are generally good, even though I've experienced personally something that is maybe different than that. I do believe that there's more good in the world than not. And yeah. I really try to lean on that, but it's difficult. Some it's not even, you know, a lot of people have said to me, you know, you've got to just take things one day at a time. And I do. I will say, as going through something like this, sometimes it's more than, it's just one breath at a time. You know, one day at a time seems like it's too big. Even, you know, 1 hour at a time sometimes feels too big. And so sometimes it's literally one breath at a time.
So it's sounding, as you're describing your grief, Deb, that it's an exercise in presence as much as it is an exercise in healing. And can I bring into our conversation today an anecdote you shared with me when you first heard, or soon after you heard about your brother's murder, that you continued to coach because you found it brought you calm? Tell us more about that feeling. Focusing on someone else helps you feel more in touch with your breath, more in touch with that now.
Yeah. You know, after that all occurred, I took about 3 weeks to, you know, stay with my parents and help with some of the immediate things that needed to be dealt with. But in this sort of situation, you know, things don't happen quickly. And so I found that what I needed to do was continue to realize that I have the heartbreak and that my perspectives have changed, but my guideposts, or what I call a North Star, and for me has a lot to do with my values, really were foundational in what gave me purpose and what helped me moving forward. And coaching is something that is important to me. When I am coaching, I am very much in that conversation and in that moment. And that has really helped me, having those periods of time to, I don't know if it's some normalcy or, but it is some place of well-being. It's some place of nurturing. And I know clients have told me, in particular in the last six months, how great coaching sessions have been. And I think that often as coaches, we gain so much from our clients also. And I think that is what brought me a lot of peace. Not that it's peace with the situation, but there are moments where it has brought me some calm. And maybe that's the better word for it, is that just that staying calm, staying present, staying in the moment, staying focused on that particular situation, and the client that we're having that discussion around and what we're working on. But just, you know, maintaining that sense of calm and that support and that new self-awareness for that client has been really important for my sense of purpose.
It's beautiful. And do you think part of it is just this feeling of being less alone?
Yeah, I do think it is less alone. I think the realization that I have had during this experience has been that we have, everyone has experienced some sort of loss, some sort of tragedy, trauma, heartbreak, whatever word that resonates with you. But we have all experienced it in some manner, whether that is a, you know, tragic loss of a family member, it's loss of a job, it's a natural disaster, it's, you know, loss of a dream or changing of a dream or changing in location, or it might be the ending of a relationship. We have all experienced that in some way. And no one's pain or no one's loss or heartbreak compares to another person's. The circumstances around that might be different, but it is in every one of our cases, whatever that is the most significant pain and heartbreak that any of us have ever experienced for ourselves. It's a deeply, deeply personal experience. And I just feel that that's something that we all have in common.
Yeah. And so the coaching gives you that glimpse.
It does.
Yeah. And tell us about the support group, the homicide support group, and what you learned about yourself and the situation along the way.
Yeah, the support group. I've attended a few different support groups themselves and a few different support group types. And what I've learned is that people are so welcoming, so supportive, so non-judgmental, especially with the grief and the burden that they are also carrying. It is amazing to me, in particular, for however long it's been since they've experienced their tragedy. And being with others that have had that same or similar experiences is very, very comforting. I have found that for some people, being in those groups and around people who understand that type of pain or heartbreak is the best for them. I've also discovered for others that having one-on-one discussions with a counselor is more helpful or more useful. I personally feel that there's really no wrong approach. I feel that it's a very personal decision on what is best. And I personally believe that there's no one tool that is a fix for everyone. I think often that, you know, support groups, therapy, coaching, all of those things, which I have leaned on every one of those or used every one of those tools in my toolbox in this situation, from support groups to therapy to coaching, faith, all of those things. And I wanted to get curious and explore all the options that would help me and have taken the nuggets of benefit from each of those along the journey that I'm still on.
Yeah. You are. And how is your heart now? 5 months have passed. Wisconsin seasons shifted from fall to winter. And we've just passed Thanksgiving and you're a grandparent again. So how does all of that shift with the time and the seasons?
My heart is still tender.
Mm-hmm.
This time of the year was my brother's favorite time of the year. He's an avid outdoorsman in Wisconsin. Fall, you know, is a beautiful time to be outdoors and being a sportsman. And he was, very much an advocate for that. So we hosted Thanksgiving with our family, which we typically always do. And, you know, there was 20 of us at our house this year, and he would have been with us. He's been with us every year in the past. And, you know, so that was challenging. On Thursday, we celebrated Thanksgiving, and then Saturday, so just a couple days later after that, we actually celebrated Christmas with our family, just because with people being in, you know, there are children and adults and, you know, work and healthcare. And so it was difficult to kind of get us all together and schedules for the next 8 weeks. And so we celebrated Christmas on the Saturday after Thanksgiving, which was difficult. And then his birthday is at the end of December. So it's kind of the trifecta of challenging days. And we continue to know that we take it one moment at a time and one breath at a time and support each other. We are fortunate, my husband and I are fortunate that our daughter and her husband welcomed a new little boy. So we have a new grandson who arrived on September 30th, and he's just amazing and a joy. And he joins, you know, my other grandson and granddaughter. So, and we were fortunate enough to spend several days around the holidays all together, along with four dogs and in a big house. So it was a lot of togetherness, which was absolutely wonderful and helpful in the healing too.
Yeah.
And is one of those sorts of things that you look for the blessings and you look for the joys in the simple things. I think that's the real amazing thing, is that when you really pause, watch, listen, there are a lot of joys in life, and it's the simple things. I know it's a cliche about simple joys, but it's true.
It is true, Deb. And when I looked at your LinkedIn post and your Facebook post encouraging your communities to take that pause, to be still, to cherish one another, the outpouring was huge and equally as touching as your post. I wondered, how far and where do you want to take this message?
You know, I'd say I'm still on the journey for that. I think it's still to be determined. I know that I'm on a path that is being illuminated in some way, but it's not yet completely lit up or clear. And part of that, I think, is because, as I was talking about earlier, everyone has some type of heartbreak, uncertainty, loss, lack of clarity, whatever it might be. I haven't quite figured out yet how to incorporate that into coaching or facilitation, support groups. Maybe it's speaking.
Maybe writing.
Maybe writing. You know, I've been doing a lot of journaling. I know it's in my heart to do something. I think it's going to take me, you know, a little bit more time to get true clarity and confidence in exactly what that is, because it is such a tender situation for so many people that I would want to make sure that I am serving someone else. Because when you're in the midst of something like that, it is about, you know, their experience. And so I wouldn't want to bring my experience or my perspectives. It would just, I guess it would be very different. I think the other thing is that a few years ago, actually 2020 was a challenging year for us and me, of course, for a variety of other reasons, also related to loss. And during that time, I read Bruce Feiler's book, Life is in the Transitions, Mastering Change at Any Age. So I would encourage anyone in your listening audience who hasn't heard about it to check it out. He talks about lifequakes, and he describes lifequakes as a forceful burst of change in one's life that leads to a period of upheaval, transition, and renewal. And I think that's what I'm experiencing with this tragic loss of my brother, is a lifequake, obviously, and probably some aftershocks related to that. And so, much like a real world sort of earthquake, there's rebuilding that needs to take place. And it's an opportunity to look at, you know, if there's a new or a different way to rebuild your future from an infrastructure perspective. And I believe that in my head right now, I'm going through, what is it that I want my path for the future to look like? So that's a long-winded answer, probably, Debbie, to your question.
It's beautiful, though. And Deb, thank you so much for sharing your story today. And I can't wait to partner with you as your friend and your colleague to help you stay on this path.
Thank you, Debbie. You have been a tremendous source of support and warmth and love during this. And I greatly appreciate, just completely appreciate it, because it's been something that is unimaginable. No one expects, you know, this sort of situation to happen. And you have been one of those dear friends that I have leaned on. So thank you.
Oh, it's my pleasure and honor, Deb. Thank you so much.
You're most welcome. Thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. You take good care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye for now.
You've been listening to DG McCullough with the Sage Sayers, a podcast on business communications and mental fitness, finding the sage approach to life's challenges. If you'd like to coach and train with me on any communication or life challenge, visit my website, hangingrockcoaching.com, or find me on LinkedIn with the hashtag Brave Communicators. Both links you'll find within the show notes. I want to thank my producer, Doton, for his elegant edits, making these episodes beautiful in ways far beyond my skills. You can find Doton on Fiverr under Titan32. And thank you to my coachees all over the globe who spark creative ideas for each episode. Thanks for listening. Bye for now.